Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Today we have two shows with an Easter theme for you to enjoy. The first is a Western starring Jimmy Stewart in The Six Shooter as easygoing Britt Ponsett. This is The Six Shooter, Crisis at Easter Creek, first broadcast April 15th, 1954, on NBC.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as The Six Shooter, just one of many fine programs brought to you each week on NBC. Tomorrow night, there's top comedy entertainment with The Bob Hope Show, The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, and Can You Top This with Senator Ford. Bob Hope delivers rapid-fire comedy routines, while Phil Harris and Alice Faye bring both mirth and music. It's a great Friday night lineup of comedy programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle, unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter. A transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
Attended a Tuesday evening choir practice in quite a spell, but when Reverend Broom stopped by the Tropical Ranch where I was working and asked me if I could manage to take part in this week's rehearsal, well, I sure couldn't see how to do any harm, so I... Bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Anyhow, there we are. About 10 of us all gathered around. John Farley's general store, it was. You see, the town of Easter Creek didn't have a regular church building yet. They held their services and social affairs in the mercantile while they went ahead trying to raise money to put up a community church. It was during the second verse of Bringing in the Sheaves that things started sounding a little peculiar, sort of... like the voices and the music were sort of traveling different trails. First, I thought it was me. I never had been exactly what you'd call melodious, but then the other folks were beginning to have their troubles, too. And holy smokes, it just was getting terrible. And finally, Mrs. Peebles, she was the organist, she just threw up her hands and stopped even trying to play.
Can't.
No, no, Elvira.
Heaven knows I've tried. I've done my best. But this organ just won't play anymore.
Well, we'll have Mr. Farley take another look at it, Elvira. I'm sure he'll be able to get it back into shape.
There's nothing Mr. Farley can do. Or anybody else. It's plain wore out. You can't expect a thing to last forever.
Well, no, no, of course
Seems
not.
Seems to me that after all this time, something could have been done about buying a new organ. When I donated this one to the congregation, I didn't suppose I'd have to go on playing it all the rest of my life. But apparently that's what's expected.
Now, now, there's no need to upset yourself, Elvira.
Well, I can't help being upset. I say I can't help it. How do you think I feel every Sunday? All those sour notes, and that wheezing and whining. Folks are beginning to think that it's me, that it's my playing.
No.
Well, I've been humiliated for the last time, and I won't go through it again.
No, but Elvira, we got to have music for Easter services.
Music? Well, you certainly don't call that music, do you? Good night, Reverend Bruce.
Oh, somebody get
it back. All right, everybody. Give me your attention, please. Attention, folks. Quiet down now, please. Quiet down. It appears that matters have come to a serious crisis. It's bad enough for a town by the name of Easter Creek not to have a proper building for Easter services. But to be without an organ and an organist, well, it's a disgrace, a positive disgrace. Now, we mustn't blame Miss Peebles. That instrument has seen its best days, there's no doubt about it. So I propose that we take immediate steps to purchase a replacement.
Just one thing, Reverend Broome.
Yes, Sheriff.
Where's the money coming from?
Well, now, I've given that matter serious thought, Sheriff Appleton, and there seems to be only one possible solution to the problem. We'll just have to borrow from the building fund.
Sort of like robbing Peter to pay Paul, isn't it?
No, not exactly. Seeing as how we haven't reached our $1,000 goal anyway, well, the money's just sort of lying there.
I don't know about that.
Just how much do you figure a new organ will cost, Reverend Bruce?
Well, I've done some investigating in the field, Mrs. Appleton. Last month, when Elvira's foot went through the pump pedal, it seemed like the situation was coming to head. The church over to Whitefield purchased a new organ just last Christmas, and they're willing to sell us their old one. It's used, of course, but it's still in excellent repair. And they're only asking
$95. No. I'm afraid that's a bit more than we can afford, Reverend.
Well, we must have at least $95 in the building fund. We've been putting money aside for the last year.
No, we ain't. We got $42.50. That's the total. Up to and including $3.65 in the cake bazaar a month ago.
$42.50?
Yep.
Why, I just had no idea I was...
We're shy over $50 from what it would take to buy the organ. And there just isn't any way we could raise it. Not between now and Easter.
Now. We mustn't give up. After all, we only need $50.
$52.50.
Yes, exactly. Let's see. There was just someone who could take a firm grip of the situation. A man who... Mr. Ponson.
Yes, Reverend.
Mr. Ponson, I know you aren't a regular member of our congregation, and you've only been in our midst a few months. But...
Well, I'd be glad to donate what I can to the cause, Reverend, but I'm afraid it'd only be a drop in the bucket.
Oh, a donation wasn't exactly what I had in mind.
Oh?
I think perhaps you can be of more service in another fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, I propose that we appoint Britt Ponson, a committee of one, to take charge of the organ raising.
Now, hold on a minute here, Reverend Broome.
We all know that you're a man of strength and determination, Mr. Ponson. That you inspire confidence, and we trust generosity.
Well, now, I'd sure like to oblige you folks, but what you're asking is just out of the question, that's all.
You wouldn't turn us down in our hour of need.
No, I'm not turning you down exactly. What I mean is, it just couldn't be done. Why, you've been a whole year raising $42.50, and now you're talking about raising over $50 in just a few days.
Well, we've been going at it the wrong way, Mr. Ponson.
What?
I'm sure your approach will be 100% more effective.
My approach?
Certainly. And just to show you how easy it'll be, we'll start things off by taking up a collection right now. Sheriff Appleton, will you pass the hat?
All right, everybody.
Dig down deep. It's a wonderful thing Mr. Ponsett's doing in taking over this fundraising campaign.
But I never said
a
word.
And here's our chance to let him know how much we appreciate it.
Reverend. Well, the sheriff finished passing the hat and poured it out on the table. And Reverend Broome counted it. $2.50. And yet the Reverend was real pleased, too. He said that that meant that I only had $50 to go, a nice round number. Well, not that I had any intention of taking this job of raising the money to get the new organ, you understand. I told the Reverend I couldn't do it. I told him just as plain as day that I couldn't do it, but somehow he got the idea that I had already agreed to do it, and no matter how hard I talked, he just kept... And the other folks, they were as bad as Reverend Broom. I was just outnumbered. That's all there was to it. So, early the next morning, I took my hat in my hand and started out. Must have been getting around noon when I finally came back to the sheriff's office.
Oh, come in, Bet. Come in.
Morning, Abner.
Oh, well, how's everything going? You been out collecting?
Yeah, I've been collecting.
Well?
Well, $11. That's what I got so far.
$11, huh? That's remarkable, Bet. Simply remarkable.
But the trouble is, I've already asked everybody in town.
Uh-huh.
Except you, that is.
Oh, well, I suppose I could give you a dollar, but don't forget I was in on the collection at Clairfax. You ain't serious, Britt. You don't mean you really ask everybody else.
As a matter of fact, there is one area I sort of skipped over.
Oh?
Well, there are those cabins over east of the creek and the ranches out that way. I haven't visited them yet.
Well, you'd just be wasting your time if you did.
I would,
Yeah, those folks wouldn't be very anxious to help out a church. Mess of thieves, cattle rustlers, every other kind of riffraff.
Oh, is that what they are? Oh.
Oh, well, now, that's just a general sense of opinion. And of course, if I could know for certain that we had any actual outlaws living around Easter Creek, if I was positive, that is, well, it'd be my duty to arrest them.
I see,
But the fact is, they ain't caused any trouble here in town, none of them. No, I can't go around arresting people on rumors. Well, can I, Britt?
I understand Red Eye Kirk has a place somewhere east of town, is that right?
That's hearsay, Britt. Pure and simple hearsay.
Oh, I see.
Why, you don't think I'd let a notorious gunfighter like Red Eye live right here under my nose, do you?
Well, it's... Too bad he's not in these parts.
Oh?
No, I was thinking I might like to pay him a little visit.
Well, what on earth for?
Well, as long as he's not in the neighborhood, I guess it doesn't matter. Kind of a shame, though.
Well, now, if you're really anxious to... what I mean is... but they do say there's a fellow who somewhat resembles Red Eye. He's got himself a cabin just this side of Deer Mountain.
Just this side of Deer Mountain, huh?
Well, wait a minute, Red. Wait a minute. What in Sunday do you want to get mixed up with Red Eye Kirk for? What's he got to do with raising money for a new organ?
Well, he probably won't have anything to do with it, but it's just that I don't want to leave any stones unturned, you see. So long, Abner. It was about a half hour's ride out to the cabin Sheriff Applin told me about. Not much of a cabin, though. Just a shack at the foot of Deer Mountain with a corral off one side. There sure were a lot of different brands on the horses in that corral. Well, I pulled up in the yard about 15 feet from the cabin door. Whoa, squaw. Whoa. For a minute, it didn't seem like there was anybody at home, but... And then I heard the door start to creak open. The barrel of a .45 poked into sight. The man behind it was tall, square-shouldered, and thick black beard, and kind of reddish eyes. Howdy.
What do you want, mister?
I'm looking for Red Eye Kirk.
Ain't nobody here by that name.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe you'll do, then.
What?
My name's Ponsett, Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett?
Now, hold on. I'll just take it easy with that gun.
Get him up. Get him up high.
Oh, sure. How's this?
You alone?
Yep, I'm alone.
You must be plumb crazy thinking you can take me single-handed.
No, I'm not interested in taking you, Red Eye.
I told you that ain't who I am.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yes, you did. Yes, that's right. Do you mind if I get off my horse?
Well, just don't try nothing, that's all. And don't move towards your holster.
Don't worry.
That's close enough.
Sure.
Now, what are you doing out here anyway?
Well, the fact is, you see, what'd you say your name was?
Jones. Bill Jones.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Jones, I've been given the job of raising some money.
What?
Now, don't get me wrong. It was my idea, but since it was for such a good cause, I just couldn't turn the folks down.
Good cause?
A new church organ. That's what I'm collecting for.
What?
Now, you see, the one that Reverend Broom's congregation has been using, it sort of gave up the ghost last night, and what with Easter coming on,
joshing me, mister?
No, of course I'm not.
You mean you're out here trying to raise money so you can buy a church organ?
That's right.
Go on. Get moving before I take a shot at you.
You won't give me a hand, huh?
I wouldn't give you 5 cents for every church organ west of the Mississippi River.
Now, it wasn't your money I wanted.
What?
No. No, it wasn't that at all.
What the devil did you come around bothering me for?
Well, I was thinking that you're a pretty influential man with some of the folks hereabouts.
Well, they'll toe the mark if I tell them to. You can bet on that.
Yeah, well, that's just the impression I got.
So what?
Well, it seemed to me that if I was to go moseying around these parts alone, some of your friends might not look too kindly on the idea of giving me donations.
They sure wouldn't.
But on the other hand, if we were to approach them together as a kind of a team, you might say.
A team?
That's the general idea, yeah.
You want me to go along with you?
I sure would appreciate it if you would.
And help you raise money for a church organ?
That's right.
Well, I'll be... Me taking up a Sunday school collection. Well, that's the doggonedest notion anybody ever had. What do the boys think, huh? Jack Denton, Wisconsin Billy? Why, it'd be almost worth it just to see their faces. You sure got a sense of humor, Potson. And you know something, this here crazy scheme of yours, I'm going to take you up on it.
You know something, Mr. Jones?
What?
You know something? I kind of thought you would.
You are listening to The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman whose name has become a legend throughout the great Southwest. And now, Act Two of the story called Crisis at Easter Creek.
Well, the first place we came to was a farmhouse about a quarter of a mile south of Red Eye's cabin. At least it had been a farmhouse once. And there sure wasn't any crops growing in the vicinity now. The porch sagged off at a slant, and the windows were stuffed full of papers and rags. Even the front door looked like it was about to slide off its hinges. The place really looked deserted, but Red Eye gave me the nod, and we pulled up and dismounted. Old Red Eye, he had a great big grin as wide as a full moon spread all over his face. Been there ever since we started off.
Hey, Denton! Get out here, Denton! It's me, Red Eye!
Well, I guess you knowed who I was anyway, didn't you?
Well, I had a pretty good idea.
Howdy, Red Eye. What can I do for you?
Denton, this here's Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett?
Howdy, Denton.
Now, don't you worry, Red Eye. Even if he did get the draw on you, he ain't turning you over to no sheriff.
Oh, put your gun away, Denton.
Huh?
Use your eyes. Ponsett ain't covered me, is he?
Then, what are you doing riding along with him?
Oh, we got us a little project. You explain it to it, Ponson.
Well, the fact is, we're collecting money to buy a new organ for Reverend Broom.
What?
That's right, Jack.
Oh. Sounds to me like you said money for a new organ. I must be getting loco.
I sure ain't gonna argue that with you, Denton. Well, come on. Come on, fork over.
You mean you're serious, Red Eye?
Of course I'm serious.
Then he must be holding a gun on you.
I ain't got all day, Denton. How much we need, Britt?
Well, let's see. 12 from 50, $38.
Well, you heard him. Denton?
Sure. Just let me look in my purse here. $220 gold pieces. How's that?
Well, I didn't mean that you had to contribute the whole thing.
Just keep the change.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
My pleasure entirely. Was there anything else, Red Eye?
No, I guess that'll do it for now. Let's go, Ponzo.
Yeah, sure. Easy, boy.
I'm glad you boys stopped by. Anytime I can... Well, you know where to find me.
Now, we'll stop at Mike Morgan's place next. That's just down the road.
Well, that's mighty considerate of you, Red Eye, but we don't need to make another stop.
What? Well, what are you talking about?
Well, $38, that's all we needed, you see.
Oh.
See, the organ's all paid for now.
Well, there must be something else the Reverend needs money for, ain't it?
Oh, I suppose.
Well, doggone it, Ponson. I'm enjoying myself. Besides, it wouldn't be fair to the rest of the boys if Denton was the only one who got a chance to do a little contributing to charity. The least we can do is stop at Mike Morgan's, since how we're so close.
I said, well, whatever you say. Whatever you say, Red Eye. Well, we made about 8 more stops before evening, and I must say that all of Red Eye's friends are mighty generous. I even had to turn down the offer of a couple of cows for the cause, seeing as how there was some doubt as to the legal owner of the stock in question. But the gold and the silver and the paper money, well, there wasn't any way of telling how that was come by. At least, wasn't any way I could think of. So by sundown, I was carrying quite a load of cash. And we were riding away from Slick Wilson's place when Red Eye gave a little sigh and looked at me sort of disappointed.
Well, guess I better head back home now.
Sure, Red Eye, sure. What's the matter?
I was just thinking about how Mike Morgan tripped over his shotgun when I told him what it was we wanted.
Nearly
blowed himself right over the bar.
Yeah, it's kind of a close call, wasn't it?
Doggone it, I don't see why Wisconsin Billy wasn't at home. Well, he'd have been fit to be tied.
Well, we did all right without him. Easy.
Say, it's Britt. Oh, why don't you come back tomorrow, huh?
Oh, no.
He'll probably be around there.
Oh, no. No, thanks, Red Eye. I got a whole lot more than I ever expected. And I sure do appreciate your assistance.
Oh, pleasure's all mine. Well, good luck.
Same to you, Red Eye. It was about an hour's ride back to town, but before I'd gone more than halfway, I got the feeling there was somebody following me. I sure didn't like it either. Not with all this money I had in the saddlebags. So I gave Scar a little touch of the spur. Come on, boy. Come on, let's go. When I heard the other horse pounding up the trail after me, let's go, boy. Come on, let's go. His first shot was over my head. There wasn't any point in trying to outrun him, Scar being as tired as he was. So I slid out of the saddle and I rolled over behind a rock. He was still coming, so I eased my gun out of the holster and inched up to get a look at him. He was a big fella, holding his revolver loose in his hand like he didn't figure on using it. Well, I didn't figure on letting him rob me either. I waited until he was about even with the rock where I was hiding. Then I stood up.
Drop it! Drop it! Okay, take it easy, Ponson.
Why, you know who I am, huh?
Red Eye told me you was heading this way. I've been trying to catch up with you for the last 15 minutes.
You mean Red Eye sent you after me?
I'll say he did.
Well, I'll be darned. I thought I had him figured different. Now, I suppose he told you about the money, too.
Sure, yeah. Here's mine.
Hmm?
My share. Catch.
What? Your share?
Plymouth Church organ. Name's Wisconsin Billy. I was out when you come by to collect this afternoon.
Oh. Oh.
Then I wanted to make certain you got my donation.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Now, do you mind handing me my gun?
Your gun? No, not a bit. Here you are.
Thanks. Well, so long, Ponset.
Oh, yes, so long, Larry.
I simply can't believe it, Mr. Ponset. There must be over $1,000 here.
Just about, Reverend, just about.
Enough for the organ, enough to build a church, too.
Yeah? Well...
Mr. Ponset.
Yeah?
Now, you mustn't think me ungrateful, but I'm afraid we can't accept this money.
What?
Well, you see, Sheriff Appleton told me where you got it.
He did, huh?
Now, mind you, I don't have any objections myself. I think when help is offered, it should be accepted, irregardless of the source. But some of my people, they aren't quite so broad-minded. And the idea of permitting Red Eye Kirk and those other outlaws to donate to our fund, well...
Now, just hold on a minute, Reverend Brougham. Now, just hold on. Now, when I was talking to Sheriff Appleton earlier today, he claimed that there weren't any outlaws in the vicinity of Easter Creek.
Well, we don't like to admit that our town is a haven.
The sheriff said that if there were any bandits around here, it was his duty to arrest them. Of course, that would mean getting a posse together. It would probably mean a lot of shooting and killing.
Well, Mr. Ponson, everybody knows it. I mean, it's common knowledge.
And as for Red Eye Kirk ever having anything to do with that money I raised, well, you could be mistaken, Reverend.
But you were seen riding along. Well, it looked like Red Eye.
Didn't Sheriff Applin ever tell you about the fellow that lives out near Deer Mountain who's supposed to be the spitting image of Red Eye Kirk? Didn't he ever tell you about
it? Now, Mr. Ponson.
No, even if... some of those fellows on the other side of the creek are sort of outside the law. Now, I'm not saying they are, mind you, but even so, you know, accusing them of being criminals, it might stir up a whole lot of trouble.
That's true, of course.
And besides, Sheriff Appleton says they're law-abiding citizens, and he's your duly elected sheriff. He sure ought to know. Hmm? Well, night, Reverend. I'll see you in church. Well, I guess there was a little argument about whether or not to accept the money, but Sheriff Appleton finally convinced folks that they didn't have any right to turn it down. So, by the following Sunday, Easter, the congregation had a new organ. And the service was real well attended, too. Now, some of the folks didn't look like regular churchgoers. But Red Eye, Mr. Jones, he explained to me afterwards that he and his friends just wanted to make sure their contributions had been put to a good use. I don't know if they've been back since, but you never can tell, you know. Reverend Broom preached a real fine sermon that morning.
Transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Marvin Miller, Ted DeCorsia, Robert Griffin, and Red Eye Kirk. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Oh, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. Play Truth or Consequences with Ralph Edwards on the NBC Radio Network.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour with your host, Justine Ward, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through iTunes, Podbean, or RSS. Next, we have an episode of Family Theater, the non-denominational Christian show that was very popular at the time. The Passion of Christ was redone for several years because it was such a beloved Easter show. Narrated by Ethel Barrymore with an introduction by Charles Boyer, the show recounts the biblical story of Easter. Enjoy Family Theater, Passion of Christ, first broadcast April 3, 1947 on Mutual.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Family Theater, starring Miss Ethel Barrymore, the Mitchell Boy Choir, and the music of Meredith Wilson. Charles Boyer is your host.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of.
Good evening. This is Charles Boyer. As your host for this evening, I should tell you something about Family Theater and a story you will hear tonight. Therefore, if I may, I would like to remind you that Family Theater is dedicated to your family, with the hope that your family would always be happy. As you probably know, many of us in all phases of the entertainment industry join with so many of you in the sincere belief that a happy family is a family that acknowledges God and seeks His help. To put it another way, a family that prays together stays together. Now, about tonight's story. There is very little that can be added to its own great words. It is the Passion, Death, and Resurrection, adapted especially for radio by John Slott and narrated by Miss Ethel Barrymore. In these days of a slow dawning toward a new world of peace, we need the old words to guide us. And what greater words can we thus express for this festival day than the words of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection?
Came to pass when Jesus had ended all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days shall be the Pasch, and the Son of Man shall be delivered up to be crucified." Gathered together the chief priests and ancients of the people into the court of the high priest who was called Caiaphas. And they consulted together that by subtlety they might apprehend Jesus and put him to death. But they said not on the festival day, lest perhaps there should be tumult among the people. And when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, they came to him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he was at table. And the disciples, seeing it, had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this might have been sold for much and given to the poor." And Jesus, knowing it, said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For the poor you have always with you, but me you have not always. For she, in pouring this ointment upon my body, hath done it for my burial. And I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, that also which she hath done shall be told for a memory of her." Then went one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, to the chief priests and said to them, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" But they appointed him 30 pieces of silver, and from thenceforth he sought opportunity to betray him. And on the first day of their azimes, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where wilt that we prepare for thee to eat the pasch?" But Jesus said, "Go ye into the city to a certain man, and say to him, The Master saith, My time is near at hand. With thee I make the pasch with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed to them, and they prepared the pasch. But when it was evening, he sat down with his 12 disciples. And whilst they were eating, he said, And I say to you that one of you is about to betray me. And they, being very troubled, began every one to say, Is it I, Lord? But he answering said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, he shall betray me. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man shall be betrayed. It were better for him if that man had not been born. And Judas that betrayed him answering said, Is it I, Rabbi? He saith to him, Thou hast said it. And whilst they were at supper, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke and gave to his disciples and said, Take ye and eat. This is my body. And taking the chalice, he gave thanks and gave to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which shall be shed for many unto remissions of sins. And I say to you, I will not drink from henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I shall drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father. And to him being said, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to Peter, And I say to thee that in this night before the cock crow, thou wilt deny me thrice. Peter saith to him, Yea, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. And in like manner said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them into a country place which is called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit you here till I go yonder and pray. Taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to grow sorrowful and to be sad. Then he saith to them, My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Stay you here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell upon his face, praying and saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith to Peter, What? Could you not watch 1 hour with me? Watch ye and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh weak. Again the second time he went and prayed, saying, My Father, if this chalice may not pass away, but I must drink it, thy will be done. And he cometh again and findeth them sleeping, for their eyes are heavy. And leaving them he went again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same word. Then he cometh to his disciples and saith to them, Sleep ye now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Behold, he is at hand that will betray me. And as he yet spoke, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the ancients of the people. And he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that is he, hold him fast. And forthwith coming to Jesus, he said, Hail, Rabbi, and he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, whereto art thou come? Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and held him. Behold, one of them that were with Jesus, stretching forth his hand, drew out his sword, and striking the servant of the high priest, cut off his ear. Then Jesus saith to him, Put up again the sword into its place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou I cannot ask my Father, and he will give me presently more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that so it must be done? In that same hour Jesus said to the multitudes, You are come out, as it were, to a robber, with swords and clubs to apprehend me. I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. You laid not hands on me. Now all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then the disciples, all leaving him, fled. But they, holding Jesus, led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the ancients were assembled. And the chief priests and the whole council sought false witness against Jesus, that they might put him to death. And they found not, whereas many false witnesses had come in. And last of all, there came 2 false witnesses. And they said, This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and after 3 days to rebuild it. And the high priest, rising up, said to him, Answerest thou nothing to the things which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, And the high priest said to him, I abjure thee by the living God that thou tellest if thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith to him, Thou hast said it. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of God and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his garments, saying, He hath blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard the blasphemy. What think you? But they answering said, He is guilty of death. But Peter sat without in the court, and there came to him a servant maid, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And as he went out of the gate, another maid saw him, and she saith to them that were there, This man also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath, I know not the man. And after a little while they came that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for even thy speech doth discover thee. Then he began to curse and to swear that he knew not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he had said before the cock crow, Thou wilt deny me thrice. And going forth, he wept bitterly. All the chief priests and ancients of the people took counsel against Jesus that they might put him to death. And they brought him bound and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, who betrayed him, seeing that he was condemned, repenting himself, brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and ancients, saying, I have sinned in betraying innocent blood. But they said, What is that to us? Look thou to it. And casting down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, having taken the pieces of silver, said, It is not lawful to put them into the corbona, because it is the price of blood. And after they had counseled together, they brought with them the potter's field to be a burying place for strangers. For this cause that field was called Haseldana. That is the field of blood, even to this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was prized, whom they prized of the children of Israel, and they gave them unto the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Now upon the solemn day, the governor was accustomed to release to the people one prisoner. Pilate saith to them, What shall I do then with Jesus that is called Christ? And they all said, Let him be crucified. governor said to them, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And Pilate, seeing that he prevailed nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, taking water, washed his hands before the people, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. Look you to it. And the whole people answering said, His blood be upon us and upon our children. Then having scourged Jesus, he delivered them unto them to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, taking Jesus into the hall, gathered together unto him the whole band, and stripping him, they put a scarlet cloak about him, and plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And spitting upon him, they took the reed and struck his head. And after they had mocked him, they took off the cloak from him and put on his own garments, and led him away to crucify him. And going out, they found a man of Cyrene, named Simon. Him they forced to take up his cross. And they came to the place that is called Golgotha, which is the place of Calvary. And they gave him wine to drink, mingled with gall. And when he tasted it, he would not drink. And after they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, They divided my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. And they sat and watched him. And they put over his head his cause written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Crucified with him two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they that passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, saying, Vah, thou that destroyest the temple of God, and in 3 days dost rebuild it. Save thy own self. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. In like manner also the chief priests with the scribes and ancients, mocking, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him now deliver him, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole earth, until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some that stood there and heard said, This man calleth Elias. And immediately one of them running took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the other said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to deliver him. And Jesus again, crying with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. The veil of the temple was rent in two from top even to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had slept arose. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they came into the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, having seen the earthquake and the things that were done, were sore afraid, saying, Indeed, this was the Son of God. Sabbath, when it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and coming rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was a lightning, and his raiment as snow. And the angel answering said to the women, Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. And the 11 disciples went into Galilee unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And seeing him they adored, but some doubted. And Jesus coming spoke to them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the end of the world.
This is Charles Boyer again. I'm sure you were just as moved as I was with Miss Barrymore's reading from the New Testament. The story you heard tonight is a true story, hundreds of years old. It's a story that will never die so long as someone lives to read it or to tell it. And that story is especially wonderful for this program, Family Theater, because it is a story of sacrifice. And after all, the story of your family, of any good family, is a story of sacrifice, is it not? What mother has not given up so much for her children? What father has not sacrificed for his wife and family? Keeping a family together, whether that family is just two people, a husband and a wife, or a big family with many children, keeping that family together and happy demands continual sacrifice on your part. Sometimes the things you must do and the things you must do without are almost too much to bear. But you need never despair, because you can do anything with help. And you can always, always get the most wonderful, most powerful help in all the world just by asking for it. Ask God for his help. His help is so easy to get. Just say a prayer, and say that prayer together with your family. A family that prays together stays together. So tonight and every night, thank God for what you have and ask him for what you need. And if you have never turned to God before and you turn to him now, this will indeed be a joyful and happy Easter for you and your family. Before saying good night, I want to express our thanks to all of you who have helped make this program possible. A special word of praise to John Slott for his adaptation and to Bob Mitchell for directing the choir. Thanks also to Mel Williamson for directing our play tonight and to our producer, Bob Longnecker. Next week, our stars on the Family Theater will be James Craig and Jane Wyatt with John Charles Thomas as your host. Good night.
The
This series of the Family Theater broadcast is made possible by the thousands of you who felt the need for this kind of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the actors and technicians in the motion picture and radio industries who have volunteered their services to fulfill it. Tony Lafrano speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through iTunes, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the Golden Age of Radio, when we have a treat with some wonderful stage actors in Theater Guild on the Air. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.